Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Hi FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, or Boba Shah, as some like to call me. And it just seems to be, I'm joined by Adrian this week. Aren't we lucky? You got both of us. Anyway, so, eating just seems to be the order of the day lately.
Yeah.
We just can't, I mean, Ian's saying to me, so much food left over, what are we going to do? It's okay. Sukkot is around the corner. Hello. In fact, I took all my brisket that I had left over, minced it.
Oh, yeah?
Put some onions or whatever. And I made blintzes.
Yeah, I've got leftover chicken. I made a new chicken recipe. Just a chicken and gravy, very plain, very simple, very old-fashioned gravy, you know, flour and cook it down and all that.
Yeah.
And the chicken is outstanding, so I've got a bit left over because I miscounted how many people I was having, and I made 4 instead of 3. And so we're having chicken pie tonight.
Yeah.
And toasted chicken sandwiches for lunch, probably tomorrow.
I mean, there were so many dishes that we actually didn't touch. I made a beautiful date and apple cake. Nobody touched it, so I kept it. Put it away in the freezer, and then just warm up a like sugar water syrup, a simple syrup, and pour it over and heat it up.
Something like a nice pair of custard.
Pair of custard in there.
We made 4 kilos of gefilte fish.
Your house must have smelled delightful.
I had one of my daughters who doesn't like the smell of fish at the best of times.
Yes.
I don't know how many vanilla candles she was burning in my house. Every door open, thank goodness it was warm. But yes, and then I froze half of it so that we've got for Sukkot and we don't have to do it again. She says, thank you. But yeah, so my mom made, I don't think I've ever made that much gefilte fish because normally we make a second batch.
Yes.
But I'm trying to streamline stuff and my mother isn't as strong as she used to be. So coming to me 2 or 3 times to make gefilte fish is too much. So this time she made 1.
Because you make the real gefilte fish, you put the head in.
No.
You don't?
No, okay. Nobody in my house will have. We did have the smiley. We did have a sheep's head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. the meat is absolutely delicious. Did throw away the brain. It did come with brain. I threw that out. I decided I'm not making sweetmeats.
I'm a butcher's wife, but no thank you.
It was
marshmallow is beautiful.
Marshmallow, yes.
That's
I did
enough.
Have some on the table for those that were not prepared to even try the lamb. The sheep's head, the meat was outstanding. Aaron made it. My son made it.
Yes.
Brought it home. You get to make the whole thing. And he found a Turkish recipe with beautiful sumac and za'atar and all the spices. And it was outstanding. The meat was absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
But they don't look so good when they come out of the pot. And that's why they're called smileys, because you can see all the teeth. But fish head, it's just we had a not a pleasant experience with somebody eating the fish head.
And what happened?
They were eating it with their fingers and digging the eyeball. And it just, we don't do fish head.
Okay.
I do use, if I need the jelly, then I do use, Woolworths makes a plant-based gelling agent.
Yes.
That I do use. Otherwise, you use agar.
But do you find that gel works nicely?
So it didn't work this time, but it might be because of the amount of liquid we had from having to boil 4 kilos of fish.
Fish, yeah.
But when I'm doing like a dessert or something smaller, then it works. It's not bad. It's a hit and miss one. I prefer the agar. Mostly because I think I'm used to using it.
Right.
And I've learned how to use it.
You actually like the jelly on the gefilte fish? We don't.
No. We have the liquid.
Yeah.
I wanted it a little bit jellied so that it didn't slosh everywhere.
Right.
But we didn't get that, so we had liquid. It was fine.
You know, my best is I make a gefilte fish loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make a few of them, freeze them, and then what you do is you just defrost them.
Yeah.
You bake them first,
obviously.
defrost them, and then I slice it, and then I just fry it.
So the gefilte fish balls, I do find you've got to boil them up again after you've frozen them. So, you know, that's why the liquid is better than the jelly, because you can't reboil it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So that's nice. Yeah.
So what did you make for Worcestershire?
So I made Danish herring. I made chopped herring. Yes. Made gefilte fish, of course.
Right.
Traditional.
All the fishes.
And then for the meat, I made this chicken and gravy, a garlic and honey chicken.
No soup?
We did have soup. We had, for the first night, I had apple and leek soup.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Something and different and untraditional, but it still uses all the simanim.
Right.
And then obviously second night we had chicken soup with the feet. Because I know my family are, I know people look at us funny, but yes. Yeah. I know when my son was doing the shchita for the KCSA chickens and he said to them, can he have the feet? They like looked at him like, okay, can we clean them? Can we skin them for you? And he goes, no, for what? So we are a little different. And my family are quite, most of them, open to trying new stuff. So we do get, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, things like that. So that I am lucky, but we definitely had soup. I didn't make ladle. I forgot about them. Only afterwards did I remember.
You know,
I didn't even do that. I was very lazy with that part of it. I just felt like it. And then the beef was an apple and cinnamon. So there's a company in Cape Town, Terra Madre. They do frozen apple juice. Like, it's pressed apple juice. It's not liquid. And he brought it home one time. And so I used the Golden Delicious. Used a half a bottle of Golden Delicious with two quills of the cinnamon sticks in the slow cooker for 4 hours. Took it out, sliced the meat, made a gravy over it. And that was mint.
Okay. We're going to go to an ad break, and then we're going to come back with all sorts of exciting recipes for, I think, Sukkot. We'll talk about Yom Kippur as well. You know, to start the fast on, what we're going to break the fast on. And if anybody wants to phone in, please do. Tell us what you make.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Freshen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Freshen show, and we are really talking about food.
I want to know what you had for Rosh Hashanah.
I had chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I say to you, oh, all these things, the chicken
feet, like the traditional
and all that
stuff.
But I'd use the necks and the bricks and the this and the that and the.
But does anyone in your house eat it?
No.
Okay.
We strain it.
Mine will eat it.
Okay. Nobody eats it. And then, chicken soup and paroga. And I decided we're not going to have the fishes for supper. We had the fishes for lunchtime, made the chopped herring and the fried fish balls, etc. And then I had brisket, which became pulled beef.
Oh, stunning.
Because it just went on in the pot. And then we had like the traditional stuff. I went really traditional this year. Mm. I had the kugels and I had the one thing I did do was the otolenghi butternut with the tahina and the chickpeas. And I really roasted it for a long time with the ceylan syrup. I love this date syrup. I've gone mad crazy for date syrup. And made that as well. And I made sweet corn something. And I made potato kugel. And then for dessert, I did the...
I did the date cake,
which nobody ate. So I've kept that for Sukkot. But I made a Turkish platter, which I did for Jewish Life magazine as well. And what I did was I followed the recipe, did everything, but I had a lot of Turkish delight. I was gifted.
My husband would love
a few boxes. So I decided, you know what? Nobody's going to eat it like whole.
Give it to my husband.
And I thought, I can't chop it up too small because it gets too, it's difficult chewy. To eat and chewy and hard in the ice cream. So I melted it in the microwave and blended it into the ice cream.
Oh, it's stunning.
And it just took it to another level. It was absolutely delicious.
Oh, sounds
good.
They
went mad for it.
My husband would absolutely love you. I'm not a Turkish delight fan, but he loves the stuff.
Yeah, and then, of course, the challahs. I made all the, raisin challahs and the honey and the whatever. Mm. And with the leftover, I made bread and butter pudding, pudding, because I had quite a few. And my family go, "You've frozen this challah, haven't you, Ma?" Whenever I make too many and freeze. So I decided to make bread and butter pudding out of that.
Yeah.
And that's quite easy because all you do is make sure that you make a beautiful custard.
Yeah.
So what I do is I take about 5 eggs, a liter of oat milk. I've been using oat milk lately.
Oh, yeah.
And
I believe it's delicious.
Delicious. And it's sweet, but I think you can get an unsweetened one. And or you can use coconut milk if you want to, add a bit of water to it, or coconut cream, and then add some vanilla essence, and then a butter with a pair of margarine, the pieces of bread, and then I put apricot jam on, and then I just put the custard on top, cinnamon, lots of cinnamon.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, the raisins from the challah, but you can add more raisins. We love raisins.
Not in my cooking. I'll eat it in a bowl. Don't stick it in my cooking.
Funny, I won't eat raw raisins.
We're opposites.
But I love cooked. And I love it in challah and whatever. And then I've just frozen it unbaked. Don't bake it because it will dry out. And then just before you're going to serve it, cook it up for about 30 minutes. But don't overcook it because it will just absorb all that custard. Mm. But why I like to make it the day before is because then I can really see like how much custard it's absorbed. And then if I need to add a little bit more milk, I do so. Sprinkle some sugar on top, some cinnamon, and bake it.
Nice.
Until it's lovely and golden brown.
That sounds so amazing. Okay. And how are we beginning our fasts?
Okay. Traditional.
You do traditional.
No, but you know what? I've actually changed it. I changed it to crumb schnitzel.
Oh, nice.
I love crumb schnitzel.
Yeah.
What's wrong with my talking? I need to drink. So I have crumb schnitzel. I have butternut.
Okay.
I have broccoli stems. I have, what else do we do? Peas. And then, I don't know, it just seems to be like a yearly thing, apple tzimmis and jelly, Ma. We've got to have apple tzimmis and jelly.
Oh.
So that's what we have. Oh, soup and kreplach.
Yeah.
Won't make kreplach.
No.
Ah, drives me insane. They always like pop open, and as much as I squeeze them down, as much as egg I use and whatever.
Yeah. So we have the kreplach, but it's not my favorite thing. It's,
really?
Yeah.
I'm a real pasta girl.
Yeah. No, I love pasta. I just don't like the kreplach. I don't know why. I've never tried to make it. I must maybe one of these days, especially now I've got a pasta attachment for my machine.
So finally,
I might.
Yeah.
I've made pasta and everything myself, but I never made kreplach. So that's something I haven't tried.
I also do, either I do potato kugel or I do just mashed potato.
So my family don't like kugel at all.
Really?
Mm, they just don't like kugel.
No, you know what? I like to make it in like a big, shallow dish.
I used to do that.
It's crispy all round.
Yes.
Everybody gets a piece of crisp.
They prefer, like if I'm going to do potatoes, roast potatoes, boiled potatoes, mashed potatoes, but not kugel.
I have to tell you something. Mm-hmm. So my daughter-in-law has an obsession with rugula.
Oh, yeah?
Loves it. They have to be the chocolate ones.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. In London, they make them like very moist.
Yes.
And they make them full of like this moist chocolate.
Okay.
Anyway, so I decided, in honor of you, I'm going to make rugula.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. But I did it the easy way. And it was such a hit, you have no idea.
Tell me.
I got Orette's, the frozen croissants.
Yeah.
I think you get about 10.
Yes.
Defrost them. I unroll them carefully.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Took some chocolate spread.
Yeah.
You can get a lovely pair of chocolate spreads.
Yeah, they're okay,
kosher,
yes.
They're all there.
Mm.
Spread it right down the length of the croissant. Rolled it back up again. Put it into a baking dish, sprinkle it with cinnamon and sugar, Okay, and baked them until they rose and they were really puffed out and beautiful. Took them out the oven, and then I put some, over Pesach, I got that Bosco
chocolate.
But I put some, a little bit of sugar water over over them so that they were nice and moist. And then I put a little bit of Bosco, so it was a real chocolate delight.
Oh, wow. Because the recipes I found are all asking for cream cheese and stuff like that.
No, this was lovely chocolate bruggelach, and they were, I served them for dessert.
I need to give Loretta a phone call quickly.
I serve them. You get them raw, frozen. Yes. Mustn't get the cooked ones.
No.
And then I served them a few days later. A mashkicha came to our house, and I put in the microwave for her. And they were like fresh, hot off the
stunning.
Press. So, and she said, "Great."
sounds
okay.
Like it.
So we got the okay from everybody.
That sounds like it. Yes. No, that's I think different. Yeah. No. For us, I'm still deciding. And don't do it spicy, but definitely lentils to start the fast. So either a lentil babuati or a lentil dal. I haven't decided yet.
Okay. We're going to go to an air break, and we're coming back with starting the fast.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and I'm joined by Adrian Bogarty today. And we are chatting Rosh Hashanah, what we're doing with our leftovers, starting the fast. It's actually quite funny because in America it's called breakfast. We always call it breaking the fast.
Yeah.
There's breakfast. And sometimes I think they're talking about breakfast.
Yeah. Well, technically that's where the word breakfast comes from, because you fast from the night before.
Uh-huh.
So you are breaking the fast.
Ah, excellent.
But breaking a fast, obviously, bulka or babka.
But let's go back to what you were starting the fast.
Oh, so I'm starting, do chicken soup.
Right.
What I used to do is I used to cook a whole chicken to make my chicken soup, then take that out and spice it and stick it in the oven and have a roast chicken.
Right.
But I'm going to have like a lentil or something next to it, because lentils do help you fast for longer. They keep your blood sugars much more evenly. You just have to decide what kind of lentil dish you are. I like the lentil dal because it's not a spicy one. It's actually quite a creamy recipe.
How do you make it?
It's literally you're boiling your lentils. You add your curry spice, whichever curry spice you like, and at whatever quantity you like, garlic, ginger, and onion. You fry your onions. You fry your lentils so it's coated with the curry spice. Then you put in water. You're boiling it up. And then you put in, the original recipe asks for butter, but obviously we're going to use margarine. Mm-hmm. And it gives it that creamy texture, margarine. And it's quick and easy to do.
And you blend it together? Just leave it like that.
And you let it cook down till the water is mostly absorbed. So it's not too runny.
Right.
And it's just an easy, easy thing. I think I've got the recipe on my website, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So, it's I don't know, but there's so many lentil dal recipes, and they're all so easy and so simple. And all you have to do is substitute. If they're asking for cream, you use either Oli Whip or coconut cream, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
I'm not a coconut fan, so I will always use Oli Whip if I can. But even the richest dessert topping works really well.
And all the milks you can get today.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah. I know at Jackson's, I don't know if they've still got, they used to have barley milk, which was really sweet. My kids used to tell me it was tasted like oaties. so, there's so much available for us to substitute.
Yes,
and then
absolutely.
I've got a leftover dessert from Rosh Hashanah. I made ice cream. I did vanilla. I did a chocolate liqueur, and then a coffee ice cream. So I did a three-layer sort of thing, and there's plenty left over because I, as usual, made too much. I don't know if there'll be any left by the time we get to Yom Kippur, though, because every time I turn around, I see somebody else has got a bowl of ice cream, which is fine. I'm good with that.
Right. But, you were talking about garlic.
Yeah.
The garlic and the lentils.
Mm.
So Rosh Hashanah, my daughter made the most incredible dips. Okay, so she made And I have to share this one with you. I know leeks and dates are over with, but you can still serve it.
Yeah.
And in fact, on Sukkot, I love having lots of different dips.
Yeah, why not?
On the table and little chips to scoop it up with. Anyway, she made a garlic confit dip. Did we stink of garlic the next day? I'm sure the whole shulmas smelt us.
I couldn't smell.
But the one, the leek and date one was just unbelievable. What she did was she fried some leeks. She cut them very thin. So you almost got them to get to that crispy point.
Yes, yes.
Then she added dates, what about 10 to 12 dates. She chopped them up very, very small. And added them to the leeks once they had fried. Put the lid on and she just let it simmer for about 40 minutes
that
or so.
Sounds nice and easy.
Soft, soft, soft. And then she added obviously salt and pepper and she simmered them so it was really moist. And then she just added some olive oil at the end into the little dip pot. Everybody was going crazy for it. And the garlic confit, you place a head of garlic cloves into tin foil. She cut it in half.
Yes.
And she did about four halves. And she baked those until they got really soft. And then she just squeezed it out into the dish, added the olive oil, some salt, some pepper. And what you can do, which my granddaughters do, is they add cherry tomatoes to it.
Oh, yes. That
so they actually
divine.
Bake the cherry tomatoes with the garlic in a big tinfoil container. And it really was delicious.
Confit garlic is delicious. We do it often for Shabbos. Just cut it up in half and stick it in the oven while I'm cooking everything else.
Yes.
And Aaron loves it on challah.
Oh, my word. It was delicious.
Yeah. Apparently, you're supposed to have garlic for Shabbos. So the confit garlic is beautiful. I was actually just asking him now if we're allowed to buy the black garlic that you can buy at the shops.
Oh, yes.
But apparently not. Apparently not because it is cooked. That's how you get black garlic. It's a slow roast.
Uh-huh.
So we'd have to query that, but you can make it quite easily. Well, not quite easily. It takes a couple of days to do it. So if you've got one of those biltong makers, those plastic bowls, you can put it in at the bottom while you make, while you're making your biltong. So obviously it'll be fleishig, but I mean, that's really pretty much the only time I'm going to use black garlic anyway. Yeah. Would be for something for Shabbos or Yontov.
Right.
But yeah.
The other thing that we did was we took a large eggplant.
Really large one.
I mean, you can double up if you want to. Okay, and we drizzled some baking paper on a tray with olive oil.
So
we drizzled the olive oil on. And we cut the eggplants in half. Okay. I mean, if anybody could see me now, I'm like showing you.
Showing me how to do it.
So hey, you cut it in half.
We talk with our hands.
Yes. And with the, now the flesh side is facing me. And then I crisscrossed everything. Okay. So it's like hashtags.
Scoring, yes.
And then I was about three lines down, three lines across. And then I made up the sauce, which was 2 tablespoons of tahina. You can add more if you want to. See what it's like on your eggplant. A tablespoon of date syrup, which, as I said, I've gone crazy for.
Yeah.
A teaspoon of za'atar. You can put more if you want to. Some olive oil. Some crushed garlic. And I literally massaged it into all the little cracks and whatever. And then I baked it covered for about 30 minutes. Just put it into a small little baking dish. Baked it covered for about 30 minutes. And I took off the lid and let it all go brown and soft. It's got to be really soft. Scoop it out, mash it up, and you've got another dip.
It sounds nice. It's a nice change from the normal baba ganoush, the chatsilim. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's full of garlic.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that we did. What else did we do for Rosh Hashanah? What else did you do? We did pavlova, obviously.
Okay.
Somehow everybody loves the pavlova with lovely strawberries and fresh fruit and whatever. I did an apple crumble, which was also in Jewish Life, so you can get the recipe there. And that was lovely because it's apple and it's honey and the crumble. And
I did those apple roses. You know, you see them everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, they're so easy to make. You just buy the puff pastry. Getting the apples thin enough and soft enough is the hardest part.
You've got to use the
You've got to microwave mandolin. Them. Yeah, but my mandolin is a cheapie and it doesn't cut them evenly. So some were thicker than others. You know, that was the thing. So tell me about Sukkot. What's happening for Sukkot? What are you feeding everybody?
For Sukkot.
Sukkot is my favorite chag.
And what I love doing is I love doing a different theme every night.
Okay.
And so often my friends will say to me, Sha, are you inviting us again this year? Okay, so this year we'd like, and they tell me the theme. And I just make different theme nights.
Okay,
it's really
fun.
You know, keep decor quite neutral.
Mm.
And I do like an English, UK kind of meal one night, and it's... roast scotch fillet with what they call
Yorkshire pudding
and roast potatoes and mushy peas and that kind of thing, and a potato and leek soup to start, and bread and butter pudding to end.
Why
so
not?
That's a really nice English way of doing it. And then I have an Italian evening.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Italian evening. It's normally milchik.
Yeah.
And I have the lasagnas and the different pastas and the pestos. I mean, the pestos you can get today from Princess Pesto and from fresh fillets and everywhere. You don't have to sit and blend and check all the vegetables.
It has made life a lot easier.
Yeah, and it's all different ones. You can, if you want to make something. Oh, another thing that talking about pestos, roasted chickens.
Mm.
And I was tired of the same old flavor for the roasted chickens. And I took some chili and coriander pesto from Princess Pesto. And I put some sweet chili sauce on top. And then I put this pesto on top, shoved the inside with the lemon. And it was lovely.
No,
it was
that
like
sounds
a nice pesto with
chicken.
Yes, it is.
Because
normally
nice
I put it on scotch fillet.
Oh, okay.
I did a scotch fillet and then I put the pesto on top.
Okay.
But the chicken was also very nice. So back to, what are we talking about? Sukkot.
So you're doing
so
Italian.
The pestos, and I do Italian, and then I do an Israeli evening.
Okay.
Where I do, you know, the normal.
Yeah.
The hummus, the chinas, all that, all the dips and all the falafel and the shawarmas and that. And what else? What other nights do I do? Mexican night.
Nice.
Yeah. So we get the lafers.
Yeah.
And we get tacos and we get the
tortillas.
And I do a Mexican mince.
Oh, yeah.
And it's lovely, filled with hot and spicy and coriander. So that night I don't have children on the Mexican night. Because that's really like a spicy night. And we have, you know, margaritas and that kind of thing. That's why no children included. And what else do we do? And then, what else? What do you do for Sukkot?
So this year, I got very excited to find turkey. So this year, we're doing lots of turkey. Yeah. I kind of this year for Sukkot have decided to splurge my budget.
Yes.
So we're having duck as well. For the first night, I'm doing duck because I love duck and I never get to eat it.
What do they used to call a turducktick?
Yeah.
They used to stuff the chicken and the duck and the turkey.
Yeah. So I'm going to do an orange duck, you know, classic French.
Yes.
So I'll have a look at things to go. I haven't quite decided what I'm having with it, but definitely the duck is the feature. And then the second night is the turkey, and you'll never guess what recipe I found for a turkey.
What?
And it's actually quite simple, which is surprising. Gloria Rutstein. So for those who don't know Gloria Rutstein, 50 years ago, she did all the Yom Tovim at the Connoisseur Hotel. She was the caterer along with Stan and Pete. Those were the two that were around in those days. That was all that was available.
Yes, I know.
But I've got her recipe book there. You can see I hardly use it because every time I open it, the recipes have like 600 ingredients in it. So I never use it because it's just too much. But the turkey recipe actually doesn't have that many ingredients.
Did you, by the way, just to go back, did you ever go to the buffets?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
my
Listen,
God.
Listen, even Ian came through Cook from Pretoria to go,
to go to the buffets.
For Yantam and stuff like that in the old days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm going to see how many ways I can turn a turkey. We have done it. Definitely we'll do turkey mince. Well, not, but like cook. So I'll do a turkey pie or something like that. Yeah. We'll do turkey tacos.
And keep the carcass.
Yes, as well. To make a beautiful soup.
It does. It
and a stock.
Soup. Yeah.
So that'll be nice. I mean, we never get turkey, but turkey sandwiches with the leftover breast.
Oh, I'm going to try and get a turkey. I love turkey.
I mean, what's it, 20 years since we've had turkey?
Yeah.
And the only reason I know it's that long is because I have a picture of my son as an 8-year-old with this big turkey drumstick that was almost bigger than he was.
I remember buying a turkey once. Oh,
for hours and hours on end.
That's the only thing with turkey is it's about a 4.5-hour cook. Yeah. In an oven.
Do they still have those little pop-out
I haven't opened yet to have a look. Do you remember those? Those would pop up and when it was ready.
Yeah.
It was the best thing. This one does ask me, well, Gloria Ritzstein does say you should have a thermometer.
Okay.
So I've got to find my thermometer. I do have a meat thermometer. Not sure where I put it, but I have one. So that's what I'm doing. And it's such a simple one. It's onions and carrots and bay leaves,
mm-hmm.
Which I know there's a debate whether you need bay leaves or not, but she asked for six bay leaves. So she needs bay leaves. You know, peppercorns, and then brown onion gravy. Now,
can't use brown onion soup to rub it all in.
Well, I've got Ina Palmer makes the brown onion powder.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I've got that brown gravy powder, I think she calls it.
Yes.
So I've got that, but otherwise you can use Bisto.
Right.
Do the same thing. You know, it's just all the recipes I looked for turkey wanted wine and brandy. Now, first of all, kosher brandy doesn't taste very nice. I've had it once.
Yeah.
And I've looked at the prices and I'm not buying it. There's no one in my house who
so
drinks brandy.
So you're not a brandy and Coke girl, eh?
Not anymore, no. That brandy is way too expensive and not nice enough to spend money on. To do maybe a nice Jack Daniel's salt gravy for the turkey sounds like a nice idea. To make a nice sweet whiskey, like a honey and whiskey gravy, I think might do that as a sauce for the turkey breasts or whatever I do with them. But, yeah, it's a 5-kilo turkey. I think it was 5 kilos. It was not cheap, but it goes for so long.
What did a 5-kilo turkey cost today?
It was about 1,000 rand, I think. But the truth
when
is,
you think about it, I mean, it's the same. Fillet could also get you that amount, quite easily.
The thing is with turkey is it's versatile. You can use the leftovers so easily in so many different ways that I don't begrudge spending the money. Whereas like a roast, you can make sandwiches. You know, pulled sandwiches the next day kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can do with it. I mean, you can
make pies.
Pies, but
broken.
But big deal. You know, I want something different. So, and then the duck makes a good stir fry.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you don't eat the whole thing,
it turns
into an absolutely beautiful sweet and sour stir fry. Just so versatile, and you know, even with the orange sauce, it's going to be nice. So, you know, we'll stick to that. But for the lunches, probably just do a dairy lunch. You know, just so much easier. And then second day is the shul sukkah thing. So I'm not cooking. You will walk off your lunch.
So we're talking about pies earlier in the break. Okay.
Yeah.
And I made a lovely onion and mushroom pie recently. So I thought, no, I'm going to do that for going back to breaking of the fast.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
So what I did was I took, I unrolled my piece of pastry. I think the Friends or the
whoever's pastry.
They're about 400 or 500 grams.
Yeah.
Unroll it, but don't roll it thin.
Oh, really?
keep it at that thickness.
Oh, wow.
Then I cut a piece off. I cut a piece off at the top, about, what, 3 centimeters.
Mm.
Cut 3 centimeters off the side, the bottom,
just
and
to even it
again.
Up nicely.
No, just to put on top.
Oh,
to make, like,
to make
a little
trim.
A little
oh,
trim around.
What a brilliant idea.
Or what you can do is just fold it over. Fold yeah. over the side, fold over. And that's what, and then what I did was I fried up some, I had peppers left over from Rosh Hashanah. So I fried up the peppers, fried up some onion, fried up some garlic, mixed it all together, added a bit of paprika, added some mushrooms, which gave it some moisture, and half a packet of mushroom soup mix.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just mix it. It sort of brings it all together, you know, like nice and tartified.
Yeah.
And you bake that tart, the pastry, before. Put a lot of little holes with your fork into so that it doesn't all puff up.
Yeah,
unnecessarily.
Okay. Yeah.
in an odd shape. Or you can use the beans if you want to. And then until it's that lightly brown, then you fill that with your mixture, your onions, your garlic and peppers and mushrooms, and you bake it until golden brown.
Oh, it sounds divine.
And it's so easy. And so it's parve, and you can just enjoy. If you want to, you can add some cream cheese to it if you want to make it milchig. It's also quite nice.
So Jamie Oliver does something very similar with peas and potatoes, with the pastry. You reminded me of the pastry.
Yes.
He also, it's done on a baking tray.
Okay, we're coming back to that. I've just been handed a little note. Ad break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show, and we are talking food.
Of course.
Of course. We love our food. So, okay, you were going to tell us about Jamie Oliver's...
Yeah, his pea and potato pie. It was so easy to make, and I don't know why I've never made it again. It's made in a baking tray. So it's not even like a proper deep dish pie. It was just like a side dish type of thing. Was also a roll, of, and he says, a roll of pre-made puff pastry.
Yes.
So if the chefs are saying buy pre-made puff pastry, no. Don't feel guilty about not making it. 2 large potatoes, an onion, 500 grams of frozen peas, about 2 tablespoons of butter, half an iceberg finely shredded, 1 cup of chicken stock, 4 tablespoons of ricotta cheese. And then, well, they asked for bacon, which we obviously ignored. I used, if I remember correctly, the vegan polony. And I diced that instead of the bacon. And I fried it up just to bring out the flavor.
Right.
And I used that. And you literally fry up your onion just until it's starting to go soft. Add your flour and your, like you would do a normal pie.
Right.
And it just works out so beautifully. And you put it on, and then you put your pastry on top. If I remember, I can't remember the whole thing. We put the pastry on top. You scored your pastry so that when the heat would come out without breaking, and it was delicious, and it was a great side dish. It's not a filling main course, but because of the peas, you've got your protein. So if you want to do a vegetarian dinner, you can do it. You know, the ricotta cheese. And ricotta cheese, you can buy it. If you're not Chalav Yisrael, you can get it from Woolworths. If you're Chalav Yisrael, sometimes they'll have it at Moishe's or from Genuine Foods. If not, it's actually quite easy to make. Alan Bender gave me the recipe years ago, and I have put it on Kashering Your Life website, so you can find it there. And it keeps for a while because you're cooking it. So you can, and it freezes.
I remember one Shavuot, I went to get cream cheese, Chalav Yisrael cream cheese, and nothing left.
Yeah.
And I made my own. And it was quite nice.
It is nice because you can adjust the flavor that you want it to be. So that's...
You know, we were talking about Yontif and little things, Sukkot, and you know, the kids come over, they're all on holiday. And so one thing I love making for them, or they love, you get waffles now.
Yes. Yeah, the toaster waffles.
Yeah, and I mean, They are. I saw frozen waffles in the freezer at Kosher World. I saw fresh waffles at Fresh Fillers. And I make mince, toast the waffle.
Yeah.
I put mince on top. They love it. A nice savory sort of, like a bolognese mince.
Yeah.
And I put avocado on top. And it goes down like a bomb.
So one of the things I want to try is the American chicken and waffles. I haven't done it because I mostly don't deep fry stuff.
Yes. I'm
very bad at, like, and I know everybody likes the deep fried things because what could be better? And what could be more indulgent for sukkahs than waffles and deep fried chicken? So I'm thinking about it. But I do. I love
they serve it with syrup on top, don't
they? Yes. With maple syrup. Okay, and nice. I do. I have real maple syrup. My brother-in-law brought me like a big bottle, like a giant bottle from Canada when he was here last.
The real
McCoy stuff. The real stuff. You just got to check because the kids were saying, but we've got maple syrup. And I go, no, have a look. It says maple flavored.
Yeah, exactly.
It tastes good, but it's not maple syrup. And cooking with maple syrup as well is just adds that just that flavor. I don't know. It's a different taste. It's not so sweet
and
syrupy.
Well, it's like cooking with date syrup. It just gives it.
I've never tried date syrup.
Oh, you must.
Mostly because I don't like dates, so I've never tried date syrup.
Yeah, listen, I'm not too fond of dates either.
I'm going to give it a shot.
You've got to try it. But and also talking about the date syrup, what, have you made this latest thing, this chili crisp?
No, I haven't.
I was watching it on YouTube. I don't know. They make. It's called, you could actually spoon it on everything. It lasts a long time.
Yeah.
And apparently, well, I tried it and everybody said, oh, this is nice. It's a little bit different. But so you take a quarter of a cup of vegetable oil.
Yeah.
A quarter of a cup of dried onions. You know, you can get the dried onions.
Yeah.
1 teaspoon of sugar. 1.5 teaspoons of salt. 1/3 cup of chili flakes.
Yeah, okay.
The flakes. 3 tablespoons of sesame seeds and 1 teaspoon of coarsely ground peppercorns.
Okay.
So you combine the oil, the onion, and 1 teaspoon of salt in a small saucepan and you cook it over medium heat, stirring occasionally for about 3 to 5 minutes. I stirred it all the time. And then you stir in the chili flakes, the sesame seeds, and the peppercorns. And then you add the remaining 1/2 teaspoon of sugar and 1 teaspoon of salt. You remove it from the heat and you pour it into a nice clean jar and you seal it and Bob's your auntie.
There you sounds go. Like a nice
it's
idea.
It's a lovely, crispy kind of chili.
Yeah.
And then I decided, you know what? It's not crispy enough for me. So I went to where I can't remember where I went, and I got the chili, the onion, the crispy fried onion.
Yes, yes.
Crushed them up.
Oh yes, no, those. In fact,
Put them in the microwave because that crisps them up even more.
Oh wow!
Don't let them burn. Just at 30-second increments. You just sort of, and then you let it cool, and then you crush it all up, and I put it in.
Okay.
It was very nice.
Because those crispy onions that you can buy now are like a game changer.
They are.
Put them in, you know, because the coating and stuff like that, you can also use them to thicken stuff.
Yes.
And it gives you the onion flavor with the thickness, which I love. No, I mean, in my house, so I've got to cook. Some of us like hot and spicy.
Yes.
And some not at all. So having something that you can sprinkle over sounds like an amazing thing to do.
Yeah.
So I must have a look at that, definitely. Yeah, you know what? I'm actually quite bad with following trends, I must admit, on...
Well, you can't help it. Just watch TikTok and you just everything. Bombard it.
So I do watch a couple of channels where they take stuff and they change it up, like fast foods, and see if you can turn it into a gourmet. One of my favorites is called Iron Chef Dad. I've forgotten his name. Lee. I've forgotten what his first name is.
Yes.
And he was one of the Iron Chefs. I think he won it a couple of times. He's won Michelin stars and all sorts of things.
Yes.
And he often, his son will give him stuff and go, can you take this and turn it into something gourmet? And I just wonder at these people who come up with these amazing ideas. And these TikTok people also, like, where do you think of these things? Have you got that much time on your hands?
Well, I follow Sivan. I'm sure everybody follows her. She can make a salad look like...
I love those people.
Oh, my word. And the way she chops it so beautifully and sort of partitions it into, you know, little sections and then tosses it all together with the most stunning salad dressing. And everything she does just looks magnificent.
You know, it's just like people who can make a salad look appetizing and amazing.
Yes.
Have my admiration, because to me, salad is salad. Although I did try a new salad this year.
Yes.
It was roasted baby marrow with beetroot three ways. So it was sliced beetroot, cubed beetroot, and beetroot puree. Now, the recipe, the puree was too thick for me.
Right.
But it was, rocket. So yes. I watered it down quite a bit and adjusted the flavor so that it became more of a dressing. But then I suddenly saw at the end of the recipe, there's a little three ingredient dressing. I hadn't seen, but it was delicious. It was, you know, you just ribbons of baby marrow with olive oil, salt and pepper, roasted in the oven until they start to go a little bit brown. You know, you don't want them charred, but you want them a little bit. And then the beetroot and rocket. So you take some of the puree, you toss the rocket in that, which is when I realized that my beetroot puree is a little too pureed and not runny enough.
Yes.
Because it like was this thick coating. Right. And then you put that with, you put the rocket, you put your baby marrow on top and your different slices, different shapes of a beetroot. And then you top it with the dressing. And it was
talking
absolutely
about
delicious.
Beetroot. I'm going to after the break, I'm coming back to a recipe with sweet, beautiful beetroot.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show, where we are talking about Essing and Fressing.
Yes.
With all the Yom Tovim, it's lovely to talk about different food. You know, it's amazing. Go to shul and you just, I mean, everything is just about food.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, so what are you making? What did you make? What did you make that was new? Yeah, I made this. And it's lovely. I love hearing it.
It's such a nice change.
I tried this year something that I saw actually on TikTok. You take raw beetroot, slice it really thin, very thinly on a mandolin, but really thin. And you take about 2 kilos. It's quite a lot.
You sure? Yeah.
But I use it with other things. And then you take the same amount of finely sliced red onion and regular white onion. Cover it with quite a bit. Be generous with olive oil, a little bit of salt. And you stick it in the oven and you cook it low and slow, like on about 140, until everything is soft and beautiful, and the onions are golden and they've caramelized, and the beetroot caramelizes, and they taste so sweet and so delicious. I'm just tired of pickled beetroot.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
So I made this, and then you can eat it plain because it's just so delicious and sweet, or you can put a salad dressing over it. I put aubergine.
I can imagine it on challah.
On challah, it just was delicious. So try that, guys. It's worth a try. So now we're wrapping up. We've spoken a bit about everything.
I think so.
We've covered a lot. And watch our Facebook pages. I'll be sharing some more recipes for Sukkot. And have a wonderful Yom Tov and an easy fast and a healthy and happy, beautiful year.
Thank you,
everybody.
And to you too and your family as well. We are
going to...
Possibly see you at shul, possibly not. I'm not sure.
What?
Because I don't fast well, so I don't always come to shul.
Okay.
But I will definitely see you for Sukkot.
Okay, great.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great year.